Migs Cast, and I am Steve Migs. I'm here with the Reverend Infuego.
Hi.
The man about town.
Mm-hmm.
And the man that nearly died, Glenn Cannon. We've got so much to talk about.
Are you sure he's not?
I missed you guys last week, man.
Dude, we missed you too.
Yeah, I was in motorcycle school.
How'd that go?
Passed.
Right.
So you now have a motorcycle to which you can ride legally?
I'm endorsed, and yeah, this was actually a little while ago. I'd been kind of sitting on it, but I bought myself an 06 Dyna Street Bob. Bought myself a Harley Davidson.
Yeah.
It's got, of course, it's a Harley Davidson, so there's a little bit of work I got to do on it. Yeah, it's a great bike.
You know what I just learned today?
Yeah.
Do you guys know the meaning behind the term hog when it comes to riding a motorcycle?
Does it have to do with overweight people in any way?
That's kind of what I was thinking there.
Kind of mean and uncool.
All this time, I just thought riding a hog was riding a motorcycle. No, that's Harley specific. It's Harley owners group.
Yeah.
Oh, so is it
if you
like
buy a Harley Davidson, like a new one,
okay.
Or I think either like you buy a new one or you bought your second Harley or something along those lines, you become part of the Harley owners group.
So now when my mom calls me a hog, I can be like, you're on point there, mom.
Yeah, you're part
of hearing that my whole life.
Oh, yeah, it's actually a hog membership.
Yeah.
And it's a Western Maryland term, too. You'd be like, oh, man, I was out working in the shop. I got all hogged up.
I never knew that.
That's a term, yeah. Man.
Weird.
Like if you're working on cars or whatever and you're all greasy and dirty,
you're hogged up.
The term is, oh man, you're all hocked up. You're all hogged up.
Wow, yeah, there's different membership types. There's patches.
In college, some of the guys were into like the larger ladies and they would always say, I'm going hogging.
Going hogging. Now that I'm familiar with.
And in our fraternity, there was
if you do it in Germany, it's Hagen Das.
This sounds terrible. Just understand, this was college and we were not as sensitive maybe as we are now, but in college, there was an award for all of our fraternity guys. Whoever was the most prolific with hogging won the Silver Sow Award, and it was just a pig that was painted silver.
Man. And
college
so
life.
That award went every year. Someone else had it. It was like the Stanley Cup. It was the same one every year, and it's a very prestigious award.
Wow, man.
Yeah, the Silver Sow Award.
I'm
I never
a walking
won it.
Hot mess, so I can't pass judgment on anyone, dude. I really can't.
Hey, this is fun. So yeah, it's actually for the Harley Davidson Hog Group. It's a full membership. All you have to do is supply your VIN number and spend $50 a year, and you get a whole bunch of things.
You get a bunch of hogging.
You get a pin and a patch.
Oh, you get a hog patch.
You get standard roadside assistance.
That sounds kind of cool.
One-time
I might need
coverage.
That.
You get access to exclusive hog events.
And I only know this because I listen to a lot of wrestling podcasts, and Eric Bischoff does one called 83 Weeks, and they were talking about a pay-per-view they did called Hog Wild.
Yeah, I remember
and
that.
And it was at Sturgis.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
And a lot of people say, and jokingly, that he did this because he was a Harley rider, and he wanted to just go to Sturgis for free, so they did a pay-per-view at Sturgis.
Duh.
But it was actually a pretty cool pay-per-view because they were just surrounded by all these bikers.
Yeah.
And wrestling was going
and
on.
And a giant party, I'm sure. Man.
Oh, it's
I've
insane.
Heard Sturgis is crazy.
I remember that stuff, yeah.
So originally, like, when they were doing all this, they were using, like, Harley imagery and this, then the other thing. And Harley's like, look, man, we appreciate the love, but this is a copyright infringement. And also, we'd prefer if you don't use the term hog wild. And at first, he was like, I don't get it. Why you don't own the term hog. That's just someone who rides a motorcycle. And they're like, no.
We
actually,
do.
The term
Harley
hog is Harley's owner. Harley owners group has nothing to. That's where it came from. It's not just for all motorcycle riders.
I knew. I mean, you didn't call a sport bike a hog. I knew that hog was specific to Harley Davidson, but I didn't know why.
Yeah.
I always thought it was for like the big.
Like a pig.
Like the touring bikes. Those 1,000-pound touring bikes. And that's all. You know, I don't know.
Isn't it funny that there's certain terms out there I just never bothered to do research on? And then when you hear it, you're like, oh, my God. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Hog.
Hog.
Riding on the back of my hog.
Well, I've got one now. So
that's awesome, dude. So question for you, because I saw our dude Richie from Thunder Beach just recently got a patch. He's a part of the West Seattle Wrecking Crew. Is that the next step? Are you going to be a member of the
Wrecking
Crew?
Actually, I was supposed to be at that patching party because I'm already part of the Wrecking Crew, but I've got the wings,
uh-huh.
But you get the rider's patch, which
Ooh,
is
you
the,
get wings?
The skull. Yeah, I've got the. You ever seen the cut that I wear that has my buddy's patches on it?
Yes. Yes.
The memorial.
Memory of,
uh-huh.
Yeah. If you look at the bottom thing, it's the Harley logo, but it's West Seattle Wrecking Crew. So I've got that. I've had that for some time. The skull and crossbones is the rider's patch, and I was supposed to be at that patching party Thursday, but I was flirting with the Grim Reaper.
Yes.
So that's why I didn't make it.
Yeah, not a euphemism, an actual thing that went down.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
Like
which
some
we
weird,
can get into
nasty
that
woman.
At whatever point in the show you guys decide you guys want to get into that. But yeah, I was hanging out with the Grim Reaper, and he was like, hey, come this way. I'd be like, can you give me like 30 minutes? I just need like 30 minutes. Be like, well, we got an appointment. Be like, bro.
I got stuff to do.
My buddy Richie's on a hog.
And
getting
just
patched.
Wait a little bit.
Yeah, I was supposed to be at that patching party.
I didn't know you were already a member.
Yeah, actually, when Joel Eggert died, the original 21 members all got the Wings patch at his memorial service.
That's awesome.
So I was part of that.
Very, very
so
cool.
I was already a member of the club, but then they have the Skull and Crossbones, which if you look at the cracks in the skull, it says WSWC.
Yeah, it's actually a really dope logo.
Yeah, those are the Riders patches, and I'm like, man, you know, as soon as I get a bike, and they're like, absolutely. Because even at the time, they were like, you know, I was like, I don't know. I mean, I'm honored, but I don't know if I should be part of this.
I don't have a motorcycle.
I don't own a bike. I haven't ridden in over 20 years. And right.
My Schwinn doesn't count.
Yeah. They were like, oh, dude, right. You know, I've got my Huffy. But they were just like, dude, it's not about that.
Right.
It's not about that.
I never got that vibe of them. Everybody I know from that crew has been nothing but more, like, beyond awesome.
Oh,
I'm always happy to see all those dudes.
Dude, it was all founded, you know, in art. It was Joel's dream to have a club.
Uh-huh.
And that's what it was one of Joel's dreams to start a club.
Mm-hmm.
And that was how this club, you know, kind of after his passing, it was like, we are going to do this.
That's awesome.
And it's becoming a more and more, you know, it's a thing, man.
You done giving me goosebumps.
Yeah.
Look at that.
I'm super honored to be
really
a part
cool,
of it.
Man. I didn't know it's all in honor of Joel. That's a really awesome thing.
Yeah. That's literally what started it. When Joel passed, it was like, man, that was always his dream. Parker actually was the guy I think that took point on all that.
Wow.
And said, we're going to make this happen. And Parker was the one that hit everyone up and said, look, I'm getting these patches made.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when I was like, hey man, I, you know, honored to be part of this thread, you know, which the thread's basically let me know if you want a patch. I can't afford to pay for them all, but we're doing this. And that's when I was like, dude, I don't even have a bike. I haven't ridden in 20 years. It's not the point.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, man.
For our friend.
Yeah, so there at his memorial service there at Slim's, we all got up, got our patches, and said a few words. And it was actually a hell of a cool thing.
Wow.
And so I'm super honored to be a part of it. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, that's freaking incredible.
And now I got this amazing motorcycle, which I won't go into geek talk, but basically in 06, there's a known issue with the inner primary bearing failing prematurely.
I have that problem too, but there's a pill that fixes that.
Yes. So I bought it knowing I bought it knowing I was going to have to tear it down and replace that bearing. It's only got 6,000 miles on it. It's like a new bike. But, you know, in first gear or in neutral, like if you're in first, you pull the clutch in, you hear it going... And it's like, oh, God. So, you know, I've been riding it here and there.
Like the bad guy in Gremlins.
Oh, dude, my buddy Jimmy. I'm telling you, it's really like.
Don't get it wet.
So I hit up my buddy Jimmy Griswold. I'm like, hey, man, you know, should I be riding this? He's like, man, if that thing flies apart, it could do even more damage. He's like, I probably wouldn't ride until you get that fixed. So I've just been doing minor excursions.
Oh, fun. A new project for Glenn to work on.
Yeah, right. Exactly, right? My brand new bike that needs work. But, you know, it's one of those things I come home and it's sitting in the carport. And the way I put it.
Ride me, Glenn, ride me.
Oh, dude, my buddy Phil Kennedy. I'm like,
experience
dude.
Experience the freedom, Glenn.
It's like laying in bed next to a porn star and being like, yeah, we can't do this.
Right.
You know, that's how
Glenn,
I feel
why?
With that bike sitting there.
Why so would you ride me?
I've been riding it sparingly.
Come on, Glenn.
Anyway,
he doesn't even turn it on. He just finds hills and just kind
of
goes down the hill.
Yeah, Tony sits behind me with a bullhorn making the sound.
Just push me, baby. Push me.
Yeah. I took it for a spin last night, man. I was selling a pedal, and so I rode over to meet the guy to sell him the
really
pedal.
Really slow, I had to imagine.
No! Honestly, once I get up in second and third, it doesn't really do it. It's only when I'm in first gear or in neutral.
Like, oh, so you need to go fast then.
Well, starting and stopping. Yeah, as long as I'm hauling ass, I'm fine. But starting and stopping, I pull in the clutch, and you hear it going... And I'm like, oh, God, man. So you get this beautiful new Dyna.
Yeah.
And,
Hog's got gonorrhea. Just needs a couple pills. He'll get fixed up. He'll be fine.
I'll get it fixed maybe next weekend, you know. I'll get it fixed, bro.
Before we get to what happened to Glenn that nearly killed him and obviously had nothing to do with the motorcycle, I just want to give a super massive shout. I want to get this out of the way before we forget because I don't want to. I have actually two quick shout outs. First one, I did Defy Wrestling in Portland. Kevin from Metal Shop texted me because he was there. He's like, there's a dude here, big fan of the podcast, really loves the show, wants to meet you. He's wearing a green shirt. And I'm like, all right, hopefully that's not hard because typically most wrestling fans are like me, have black t-shirts
on. Here's a green shirt.
Run to another guy, a wrestler. He's like, hey, man, I met this dude. He's a really cool guy. He's a big fan of yours. He's just looking to meet you, him and his lady. I'm like, okay.
That's so cool, man.
Right. So I'm walking around during intermission, because before intermission, I just don't have time. I'm busy doing the ring announcing. I run into his lady, and she's like, my husband is a big fan. Can just come with us. And I'm like, yeah, let's go. I want to meet this guy. I hear awesome things. Everyone's talking about how I need to meet him. The dude's rocking a Team Migs t-shirt when I run into him. He's not just a green shirt.
Nice. Yeah, Rev and I don't even have those yet.
I know, right? Yeah. Dude, check that out right there. His name's Eric.
Oh, okay, that's not the kind that I've ever seen. But
it's
that
a
is...
homemade Team Migs shirt.
Yeah, he made it home.
That's so cool, man.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, and it's super tight. His lady's name is Jessica. So run into him. Couldn't be nicer guy. They're originally from here. Moved to Oregon, stays in touch with Seattle by listening to the podcasts.
That is awesome.
That's so great,
he's a big
man.
Wrestling one, and he listens to Megacast, but he also loves the Migs cast, and he mentioned how, I forgot to bring it, but he made us a local celebrity t-shirt and also a luxurious Puyallup, Washington t-shirt, him and his wife. Last week on the podcast, I was talking about my villain wrestling persona. I recently had a wrestling match, and I got to be a bad guy, and I cut a promo talking about how everyone's lucky to have a local celebrity in the room. So now my nickname...
Local celebrity.
I'm local celebrity Steve Migs, and it's even on the flyer for the CPW thing. It says, list of the matches, it says local celebrity Steve Migs taking on Chase James. So that's going to be August 19th in Marysville at a skate rink at the Marysville Skate Center.
My man, look at him go, Rev.
But I just wanted to make sure...
Look at him go.
I wanted to give a lot of love to Eric. Dude, it was that made my trip, meeting you.
Oh, yeah, that's rad.
And Jessica as well. Jessica also made a shirt for Lulu. And it's
that's where you got that shirt.
Yeah, so the shirt says local paw celebrity.
Now that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Love it.
It's so great.
Here's the funny part. So we wanted to take a picture. There it is. It says local paw celebrity.
Oh, man, I don't want to be that guy, but that is just adorable, dude.
Here's the problem.
Like, if my wife was here, she'd be biting her bottom lip right now.
Right?
That is just adorable, which, by the way, makes me miss my wife. Way to go, dude.
I'm sorry. So we put the shirt on Lulu. Lulu does not like wearing shirts, even though, like, we have a Seahawks jersey for her.
Seriously, the best picture ever.
So we put it on her. She instantly goes under the bed.
Oh, no.
And then eventually I finally put it on her, and the picture is priceless. It's on Lulu's Instagram.
So great.
Which is just Lulu the Warrior Princess. On Instagram. She does not look pleased.
She looks like a drowned rat.
And even Jessica.
But it's still really cute. It's really cute.
And Jessica comments, she's like, I could tell Lulu really loves the shirt that I made her. I'm like, yep.
This awesome. Is the saddest dog picture I've ever seen.
So props to them. But while I'm in Portland, I'm keeping an eye because Bruiser Brody, we just put out a Kickstarter to raise some money for our debut full-length record because we finally hit a point where we're like, man, we're really tapping the well dry financially because it costs a couple dollars to get it mastered by an incredible guy, Mayor Applebaum.
Yeah.
But, you know, and he gave us a great rate, but, you know, he's a legit dude.
He's a world-class
guy,
yeah.
Power Flow, bunch of other really great bands. So after all was said and done, we're really like kind of, you know, squeezing blood out of a turnip.
We're going to pay for mastering and we got to pay for duplication. And, you know, it's the five of us. I mean... No one's like, well, I got $4,000 laying around. Let's do this. I mean, you know, it's really,
And we're not like playing a ton of shows just because of how things are. So it's not like we have a way to make a bunch of money. So finally, we're like, do we want to do a Kickstarter? You know, you don't want to be that band that's like begging for money. But we're like, what if we just do it as a pre-release? And it's not about, hey, give us money to finance our record. It's, hey, if you really like us, buy the record in advance. And we created something like, or buy a record and a t-shirt or this or that and the other thing.
It's just a pre-order.
Yeah.
It's basically, if you're a fan of, you can buy it right now.
Yeah.
And that pays for it.
And we said, what was it, like $2,500? We figured that would cover the cost of the duplication. And then everything else, we figured after so-and-so, you know, play enough shows and sell enough records, we could make our money back to cover the mastering and all the other stuff. But, and we gave, you know, you do like a 30-something day.
30 days. JT did all the work. JT Phillips, our man.
Shout out to him.
Sat down, put it all together, sent it out to us. Then we, you know, I came back, was like, ooh, consider this, you know, so we're ping-ponging and brainstorming. And JT really, despite being in 3,700 bands, took the time to build this, make it nice, make it pro, and get it launched. So huge props to JT. But yeah, he set it for 30 days, for a month, to hit $2,500.
And then as I'm watching it today, it's kind of funny. I put it on the Facebook. We mentioned it on the air that one moment because some guy, he made it, the first guy that pledged, said, can you give me a shout out during Beat Migs? I'm like, sure.
So you did.
Oh, yeah. And I said, I'm a whore, and somebody's willing to donate money to our Kickstarter, I will give him a shout out on Beat Migs. And I did.
Yeah, you did.
And then I started paying attention. I was like, I'm going to Portland. My buddy Craig's driving, and I'm paying attention to the Kickstarter. I'm like, dude, we're at $1,000. Oh, we're at 1,300. Like, in one day, we're halfway there. Defy happens. Defy's done. I check after, like, 3 hours later.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we're at $2,400. We're $100 away from hitting our goal in less than 24 hours. What is going on? And then I continue to read. I'm like, I can't believe we sold another like $1,000 worth of pre-orders in just 3 hours' time. That's just insane. And I continue to look, and then Travis texts us, and I look again, and I'm like, somebody dropped $1,000 for us to do a private acoustic performance.
Yeah, that was one of the tiers. There was
the
only
top tier.
Yeah.
$1,000. I'm looking right now. Private acoustic performance. Wow.
Yeah. And that was only available. JT and I talked about that. It's only available 3 times. So that would have put us, if 3 people bought it, would have put us at $3,000 right there.
Dun, dun, dun.
But we didn't know if it would sell, but, you know, I was like, let's make it available 3 times, because JT was like, how about 2? And we kicked that around. But yeah, man, someone basically bought an in-home performance from Bruiser Brody, like, which is amazingly cool.
Like, when we put it up there, I think all of us collectively said, this is funny. You know, no one's going to drop $1,000.
Actually, I think that's a really neat idea. I wonder what'll happen with it. And JT was like, yeah, right? You know, I wonder what will happen.
This isn't going to work.
Sure enough.
Oh, mind blown. I can't wait till, because everyone keeps asking me, like, who was the guy? I was like, I don't know. I have no idea who dropped that $1,000.
Yeah, I think JT can see who the pledge was that did it.
Okay. We got to find out, because that's going to be really cool.
You know who you are. We'll see you at your house.
Yeah, dude. Like, I can't wait for that. That's actually going to be a lot of fun. I'm pretty pumped about that.
Oh, it'll be neat. It'll be neat. But yeah, it's still, like, I had a text from my good friend Jason Spies this morning saying that, you know, he had pledged and another good friend of his had pledged, and they were all like $1,600 packages.
Yeah.
Which gets you like, you know, the download, the album, the signed album, the baseball tee. There's like a, you know, there's a whole tier to it where you're basically just buying goods in advance. But, you know, we hit our goal in 24 hours.
Less than 24 hours,
and
you got.
And it's still going.
You guys got a little ways to go.
Where are we at now?
It's still the same amount that you had, about the
3,300, 3,400.
Yeah, 3,400. And it still says 34 days to go. So you got a little bit over a month. And you're going to make it happen.
It's great, because, I mean, this is going to help cover the cost to put this record out. And we might be able to get the record out even earlier than we expected because of this. And everything about it is just, it's insane, dude. It's thank you to everyone, because I put on the Mixcast group
page.
Good
God, thank you.
And I know a lot of people ended up buying it. After I put it up, I saw a little bit of a spike of purchases from the Mixcast, the Titanic douches.
Nope, 3,500.
Oh, my gosh, dude. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Our goal,
cool.
At 2,500, we had won, because we only needed a little bit to make a lot happen. And
with Kickstarter, you've got to hit the goal. Otherwise, you don't see any of the money.
You don't see a penny. Yeah. So we're safe and sound. At this point, it's above and beyond. But what's cool is this above and beyond is just going to get funneled right into creating more content and product for the fans.
Do we dare give people a little bit of the taste of what the record's going to sound like again? Like, I know we did it once.
Oh, sure, go for it,
like,
man.
What song should we give people a taste of?
Oh, man.
I know. It's a...
Have we played Everyone's Dead?
No, we haven't.
Ooh.
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 Ooh. Let me
sorry.
it's an owl convention.
Masters. What was it? I got to find which one it is. I think it's Masters. Oh, there we go.
Version 4.
Yeah, version 4.
Version 4?
Yeah, we had 4.
Well, we had samples. Like, here's one track. And so that was 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And then we got back 3, and he said, I want to tweak something, and we got 4, right?
And you're like, I like that one.
Yeah, V1 and 2 were basically just one song, and so it kind of went down like that. The guys were really talented. It was super cool.
Yeah, let's give people a taste of the title track, the song that is the name of the record, which is Everyone's Dead. You've heard us do it acoustic here. Here's just a sampling of it on the Mixcast.
Spread the last of your ashes today, and dusted you off my hands, becoming all too familiar and painless. Done with this dance, becoming numb to it. Don't think I give a
Sorry, Rev.
I knew it was coming.
Just wanna get my
I could radio edit the next part.
There's another one coming, yeah.
There we go.
Before this whole f***ing world.
How about that?
Nice!
Everyone's dead. Everyone's dead. I'm sinking into the
that's all you get. If you want the rest of it, you pre-order the damn record.
Go to Kickstarter.com.
And again, this is getting played right off of my phone into the machine. So
dude,
I mean,
that sounds great.
Just wait until you hear it.
When we approve the masters, I haven't listened to the record again since we approved the masters.
And uh-huh.
Yeah, Steve called it up. I looked at him and was like, mouth the words. Man, that sounds good. Dude, it's that again is Brett Elias and did a magnificent job creating just beautiful mixes for us.
100% agree. Shout out to Brett.
When Travis and I went up to do some vocal work up at Brett's studio, that's when we discussed mastering, and Brett brought up his new kind of budding relationship with Mayor.
Yeah.
And said, why don't we give him a shot? And we got that V1 test back of Die by the Whipping.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, this is killer.
Sounds so massive.
Oh,
yeah.
It was great, man. It was great. So, exciting stuff.
So, and also what's exciting is because, you know, it's five songs that we just recently recorded. It's the five songs that were on the EP, but since then they've been tweaked and obviously remastered. So it's going to have a different sound. So it's kind of cool that if you have the EP that we put out, that's kind of now a little bit of a collector's item because we only put out a couple hundred of those.
Man, and I took it out of the box.
Well, you know, we know a guy. If you want, we can.
I don't think I have one either, Rev, if it makes you feel better. I don't think I have one. I'm not even kidding, man.
I had one copy, and I ended up giving it to Becky Lynch.
I played it for her.
Yeah, I played it for her, and she's like, this is awesome. I love that guy's voice, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, here. And she's like, really? And I'm like, yeah, I have the copy. So my copy's in her hands.
Nice.
And I think that's fair.
That's fair.
Yeah, dude. 100%. So
it's doing what you got
to
do.
If you go to our Facebook page, which is Bruiser Brody Band, or Bruiser Brody Seattle, you can type in, you'll find it. Or BruiserBrodyBand.com. There's a link also to the Kickstarter. If you want to get the record in advance, that's just a sampling of what it's sounding like. We're really proud of it and can't wait to get everyone a copy of this, which the official release date is going to be sometime in October.
Yeah, that's what we're shooting.
So cool.
JT is currently, bless JT's heart once again, currently trying to track down a venue.
Yeah,
for the CD release party.
Mix Fest / CD release party.
Yeah, yeah.
You can do it down at the compound.
Oh, do it at your house.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just have a show at my house.
I'm sure your neighbors will love you. Your backyard's rad. Yeah. Can I invite your old neighbor from across the street?
No!
She's on our guest list.
Stop trying.
The album's dedicated to her, actually.
Wouldn't be surprised.
So yeah, now we're in the process of finishing up the artwork, all that kind of stuff. So it's been a really exciting time for us, even though we haven't been playing a show. It's just nice.
That doesn't mean there's nothing going on, man.
Lots of cool stuff.
Lots going on.
And then we do have a show on August 17th.
At Louis G's with 10 Miles Wide and Dirty Dirty.
That's going to be fun.
It is.
I love Dirty. I love 10 Miles Wide, of course, but Dirty Dirty is one of my new favorite bands. Mm-hmm. And Drew is such a great drummer.
Drew's killer, man. When Window Pane was going through the great drum debacle, I didn't know he had Dirty Dirty going on.
Uh-huh.
And I hit him up. I'm like, Drew, man, look. And he was like, oh, dude, I've got this thing called Dirty Dirty. I'm really invested in it. And they hadn't even really come out yet.
It's a two-piece.
Yeah,
so
two-piece.
Each member's
wow.
dirty.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dirty and Dirty. But yeah, that was the first time I heard about Dirty Dirty because I was like, oh, I didn't even know you had anything going on. He's like, yeah, I've actually really poured myself into this. And then
it shows. It's really good.
Like 3 weeks later, they did one of those band in Seattle performances.
Yes,
and I saw that and I was like, oh, Drew's new project, sick.
Yeah.
So I was happy for him /sad for myself.
Yeah. I can understand that.
I'll be stoked to see you guys at Louis G's. I love that venue. And so it's always fun to see it go down there.
Yeah close man. To home.
Yeah.
Pizza and rock and roll.
Yeah.
They have a liquor license now, too. You don't have to walk over to the Poodle Dog anymore. Don't they have liquor at Louis G's now?
Last time I was there, they were in the process. So you're probably right.
I think they have. I've been there recently. The last time I was there was for my birthday, and I'm pretty sure they did.
Had to be, because the time before that was the listener party. We were all there, and they were already talking about the liquor license was in place. It was just like waiting for everything to get cleared.
I think we all went out to dinner for Live Day the night before Live Day last year, and I could have sworn I had a couple shots with dinner.
Oh, you're probably right. Yeah, at this point, I'm sure they have the liquor license.
I mean, I was sitting close to Castle, so it might have been osmosis.
Yeah.
But,
if Castle's there, they definitely had to have a liquor license.
I touched Ryan and was like, oh, liquor. You know, I don't know if that's...
Sweet. Yeah. I don't have to go over to the Poodle Dog and do shots with Wyatt again.
Well, you can still do that. It's always fun. The Poodle Dog is a great spot, too.
It is.
Speaking of Bruiser Brody, I don't know if you've been keeping track on the... I went on the Kickstarter and there's a comments section.
So I just saw it. I was going to read it. I'm glad you found it because I was going to bring it up.
This is incredible.
Oh, I got to hear it.
This is the greatest review ever.
This is your hype man right here.
Yeah. I mean, I want to give a shout out to Jacob Bradley Nugent. He is the man.
Huge.
Yeah. I mean, this is like a full-on paragraph about our band Kickstarter. Okay, I'm just going to read the
whole
thing.
It's not like Fire Glenn, Continue Forward,
no!
Best of luck.
All right, I'll leave out the third paragraph.
Okay,
thank you.
It says, I'm really excited for this album to drop. I went to the first Bruiser Brody concert with some people who don't really listen to rock music, and they came away loving the show. Travis Brock effortlessly throws his voice around the room like a skilled musical ventriloquist, lulling the crowd in with sultry melodies, then blowing them away with monster vocals. Glenn Cannon lays down his magically delicious riffs as if to say, quote, here's another special little treat I made just for you, as his fingers flow across the strings like parquet on white bread.
Parquet.
JT Phillips keeps the boys in the rhythm section in line, pulling double duty on rhythm and laying down our solo on Right Before My Eyes that is somehow just as crunchy and airy as his burly beard blowing in the Arctic winds of some distant Viking land.
My God.
Right?
Dude.
That could be the best line of the entire
thing. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I'm in Middle Earth. Let's do this.
His burly beard blowing in the Arctic winds of some distant Viking land. Jeff Rouse drives the band like a cocaine-riddled gorilla driving a tank through the jungle blindfolded. Jeff's powerful bass line on Don't Go There On Your Own takes over your body and makes even the most shy get up and dance. His playing style Right Before My Eyes is bouncy and smooth at the same time. I love it. The only thing more awesome than Steve Miggs' hard-hitting bass drum and seemingly naturally occurring perfect timing is his everlasting positive attitude and his ability to make people smile. This ability is so innate in Steve that he even makes himself smile while playing on stage, smiling for the entire set. I guess what I'm trying to say is that Bruiser Brody effing rocks. Thank you guys for your time and dedication you put into making this album happen. Best of luck to all of you, and remember, Seattle loves you.
Oh, that's rad.
Right?
It's incredible, man. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. How great is that?
Yeah. That's awesome.
That's a pretty damn awesome review.
Dude, thanks, Jake. Or Jacob. I don't know what you prefer.
Yeah. The Nuge.
I think you found the guy who got the $1,000 tier there.
Not right?
If not, I feel like we should bring him along.
We'll see you at your living room, man. Yeah.
Seriously.
You're on the guest list.
Really cool, man. Thank you for the support. Maybe you should write our bio. Maybe that is our bio.
There it is right there.
Well, it's one of those weird things, too. Like, you know, even though we've been juggling all this Brody business, and I know my life's
Brody
been
business.
Pure chaos. I know it'd be a good reality TV show, yeah. Right? But, you know, you forget just, like, how good the band is and how easily it came together and how excited people are about it, you know, because you're zeroed in on the Kickstarter's, yeah, this is great. Well, yeah. You know, and it's like, I don't know, from my side, it's like I almost forgot for a minute that there were like a bunch of people on the other side of this equation that love what we're doing.
Yeah.
Because I was so zeroed in on what we needed to try and get done.
And the stress of making it happen and all that. Like, oh, I hope this works. I hope people understand why we're doing this and blah, blah, blah. And then to read all the comments and everybody that's saying such nice stuff, it's been super humbling, to say the least. And it's funny because I was just thinking about that the other day. I'm like, gosh, if we ever ended up doing an interview and someone says, how did this band come together? For a group of guys in their 40s or late 30s, it's the most millennial backstory to a band ever. We started on a podcast.
Yeah. So you and I made a promise, a pact to jam together and do something.
And then it started on a podcast. That's not a story that happened back in the 90s.
Steve swiped right.
I was thinking, wow, for non-millennials, it's the most millennial start to a band ever.
Yeah, it's been pretty fun, man.
Which makes it even more fun.
When you think about what it became, and the original concept was, hey, man, look, I'll write some songs, and we'll find a bass player, and we'll just go jam.
Yep.
And it became this whole other thing. It's rad.
And I was like I was telling somebody about, like, they actually did ask, like, really, what's the story behind it? And I'm like, well, it started with Glenn and I saying, for years, let's jam, but where are we going to find the time? Finally, let's just do this.
Yeah.
And then I realized I've had the same conversations with Jeff Rouse, where it's like, let's jam, but when are we going to find the time to do this? So I was like, well, if we're going to try and do this, and then I realized that you guys have had that conversation before.
Yeah, Jeff and I had,
and then you and Travis had that conversation, and then me and JT has had that conversation, and you and JT. So all of us in some way, shape, or form have had at least one or two other members of the band have this sit down where it's like, we need to jam together. That'd be fun if we did something together. And somehow it all, like, you and I have been like this overlapping thing with everybody in this band. Yeah. Hey, we should jam together. So finally it was just like, well, why don't we just have it be all of that together instead of trying to do seven bands with different people? Like,
well, and that, you know, that whole, the band came together, penned some songs. Everyone thumbs up the songs, and then we were set for studio time. And I remember being like, maybe we should postpone. You were like, nope.
Nope, we got the
and
time.
And I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
and
if you postpone, it's never going to happen.
Yeah, I still have the original Bruiser Brody graphic that didn't have Travis's name on it.
Yep.
Because Travis wasn't in the band yet, and it was like the week before we were going to the studio, I was working on singing and playing these songs at the same time, and I went, man, maybe I should just call Travis, because Travis and I had hung out all weekend at the Lane Staley show.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, I'll call Travis and see if he wants to come sing these things, and then I won't have to bother trying to put these.
And then he was like, dear God, yes.
Yeah, well, he was like, you know, I'm like, dude, you will have two rehearsals, then we're in the studio. Are you into Kamikaze? Yes. Like, literally, I was like, hey, man, are you into Kamikaze? Like, and he was like, dude, I'm into Kamikaze, yes. I'm like, here's what's up.
We have practice tonight. That's from practice one.
That was straight up.
Legit.
I called him the day of our first rehearsal, yeah. And he showed up to that rehearsal.
And then did you just have like a show then?
The first show was at Mixfest.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
So that was like another month later.
Yeah, we did a 30-minute set at Mixfest.
Yeah, and it was fantastic.
I think tore the roof off the place.
Yeah, dude.
It was amazing. I think we sprayed Silly String in Steve's mouth.
Yes. And I made the mistake of thinking it was as delicious as a Cheez-It or whatever.
Easy Cheese? No.
Unless you're into metallic tasting Easy Cheese. It was disgusting, actually.
And then actually, I think that you guys just destroyed it at Jazz Bones. Mm-hmm. Like, that was one of my favorite shows, and that's where the first time I got to hear Everyone's Dead.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
Hearing that live, I was sold before, but, dude, it was so good.
That's a fun one live.
Yeah. That's really, really good live.
And that's, like, the one that's the most of almost, like, a band collaborative song. You know, it started as just a riff that Jeff had,
and then we fleshed it out
in a practice space while we were getting ready to play a show. It wasn't even like we meant to. It was just like, hey, let's just screw around with this. And then Travis came up with a couple lines, like melodies that really weren't song lyrics. And then next time we got together again, he's like, hey, I got lyrics for this now. And then the song really kind of wrote itself.
Yeah, it came together really fast, man. And it was cool. Like Jeff literally, I think it was a video. He sent a cell phone video.
Yep, it was.
And it was, I've got this thing. And we all went, great. We need more material. And this thing is cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so we learned his parts. And then we just kind of threw together an arrangement while Travis just kind of made vowel sounds here and there to figure out what was going to be cool.
All right, yeah, okay.
But yeah, that next rehearsal, he came in with written lyrics and was like, does everyone remember the arrangement? Where was that big rest at? And okay, right after the bridge? Okay, I'll just watch you, Steve. And then we played it and we got them playing the song. We were all like, dude, whoa.
Yeah. I mean, it was like truly like one of those 5-minute songs. Like we wrote it in 5 minutes kind of a feel.
Yeah, we were all beaming. And I remember Jeff in particular really smiling like, wow, that came together.
This was just a crazy riff.
Yeah, it started with, man, I've got this thing. And he was just sitting. It was a little video of him playing the guitar part. And he just sent it out. What do you guys think of this? And we're like, it's cool. Let's do something with it. And
something you can build upon.
Yeah, and it really came together that way. It was very cool.
And then we decided to name the record that, I think, in a way, because it's the song that represents the band as a whole.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. It's
been,
Whole.
Feels good on the whole.
And then we also, on the record, it's going to be a version of the Postmodern Heroes song, Heart Crusher, that we do live.
Nice. Yes.
So now it's kind of become its own, it's our version. You know, it's definitely...
We made it darker and eviler and...
Yeah.
Crunchier. Yeah.
I mean, do we just give a little taste of that one?
Those choruses. when I got into those choruses, I started going super dirge, like just pounding on these three chords downstrokes. And that gave it this big dirgy... We just made the song bigger and darker. Plus, we're tuned a whole step low.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, the whole thing just came off evil like the fruits of the devil.
Yeah! A little taste of that one. Heart Crusher.
Just adore this. There she is.
Yeah. Pre-order the damn record.
Kickstarter.com.
Yeah, once again, I haven't heard these since we all approved the masters. And yeah, that chorus is just, it's so textured and thick. And yeah. it's like a sponge.
There's a lot of crap going on
it's
in
like
that chorus.
It's like biting into a moistened chocolate cake. That chorus is so thick, dude. It's rad.
For me, I think that's going to be a fun one when you have headphones on and you're really baked and you start zoning in on different parts. You're like, whoa, what's that going on over there?
Well, if you listen, there's lots of, there's ear candy that happens. Yep. Like, you know, you'll catch like in Everyone's Dead when the drums drop out. You hear my guitar go straight up the middle all of a sudden.
Oh.
There's all this neat little panning stuff. And I think he even monoed it at some point, but yeah, Brett does all this subtle little ear candy stuff.
It's fun.
But yeah, if you were to torch a bowl and put on cans, you'd just lay there and be like, and be like, welcome to the Brett Zone.
Brett Zone. Yeah, dude. I played it for Sid, like, you know, just in the car, and she was like, even just like, yeah, you guys got something pretty neat going on. I shouldn't say neat, because I don't think she uses that word. That's more
neat.
Me.
Well, it's a hell of a band.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, you know what I mean? I'm trying to figure out how to say that without sounding egomaniacal. It's just a hell of a band.
Yeah.
They're great recordings. It's a great band. They're great songs.
It's great energy.
And
like I said, even on my Facebook post, I posted somewhere, I was just like, it just really encapsulates five friends wanting to finally get together and make something.
Yeah.
And I'm very, very proud of what we did. And I think it's the most proud I've ever been about anything I've ever been a part of. And it's no disrespect to anything else that I've ever recorded, because I've genuinely enjoyed all the records that I've put out. And I'm very proud of all of them. But I've never been more proud of something than what is going to come out in October. And I'm stoked that people are excited about it.
Yeah, man. Yeah. This thing went a lot further than I think we ever thought it would.
We thought one show for funsies and get a recording that we could keep for the rest of our lives. It's just kind of a cool thing to have. Never expected that this would be somewhat frequent band that plays shows like every few months.
So the album drops in October, and then now you're gonna have to go on your world tour.
It's like the poor man's Mad Season. You know what I mean, dude?
You know,
like a bunch of guys that aren't stars put together a really great band. Well, maybe Travis and Jeff, but like me, JT, and Steve.
Yeah, we haven't done anything.
Hey, Steve is a local celebrity.
That's wrestling.
My bad.
That's wrestling.
Okay, well, JT and I will just go eat popcorn somewhere quietly.
I want to eat popcorn too, though.
All right, well, come so you can sit with us, dude.
I love popcorn.
It's delicious.
Popcorn. All right, let's talk about what happened with Glenn.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Because we almost became a podcast of two men again.
I know.
Yeah, so. First of all, sorry.
Spider bit your ding ding, huh?
Yo, I almost left. So I missed last week because I was in. I tried to sign up for they only do like X amount of courses.
Yeah,
and
for your motorcycle.
And people book them up. Yeah, for the motorcycle. And so I kept trying to find a weekend. I couldn't find a weekend. I had already bought my bike, so it's sitting there. I'm like, man, and I've been just kind of putting around my neighborhood.
I'm on a ride.
Yeah, you know. So I had to take that Monday Tuesday course. So. Anyway, I apologize for missing the podcast last week. I love you guys and hated not to be here. But so many, many, many moons ago, when my wisdom teeth came in, as we all know that happens when you're 10 or 11 or 12 or whatever, most of the time the dentist just goes, your wisdom teeth are coming in. Let's just get those babies out.
Yeah, I remember that happening to me.
Yeah, my dentist went, they're not messing with anything. His teeth are straight as an arrow. Let's just leave them.
Mine are still in.
Okay. So, and man, you're going to get into some, I'll try and keep this brief, this story time with Glenn. But, so, I've had my wisdom teeth my whole life, but when they came in on my jaw in the bottom, when they pushed up through the gums, it left these little bitty baby flaps of gum that kind of are back in behind my wisdom teeth.
Little flippers.
Yeah, kind of. They're itty bitty, and it's apparently very normal. There's even I think it's called an apiculus.
Oh, I think I said it's like a fetish for it.
just Google that.
Lick my gum flaps.
Yeah, yeah.
Ladies love the gums.
You know, they're way back there. And something that's happened all my life is once in a while, like a popcorn husk or a little seed or something will get stuck in there.
Oh, no.
And my gum will be kind of irritated and inflamed. And I'm like, okay. And so I'll rinse usually, and I found out I'm not supposed to do this either, but I would take hydrogen peroxide and cut it with water.
Yeah,
you're not supposed to do that?
No, you don't want to do that. Because your gums, this is part of why I was hanging out with the Grim Reaper. Your gums, it's a very thin membrane, and so things absorb quickly and easily through the gums and go right to your heart. It's kind of like doing a power nummy when you're doing blow. Not that I've ever done that. That's why you rub the coke on your gums, brah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Well, next time we'll try it together.
Lesson learned. Okay. Oh, it's the first time. That'll be my first time.
Now. Not that I saw that in a movie.
Yeah.
Bruce Brody, August 17th. Steve hopped up on coke for the first time in his life.
Power Nummy, our new song.
What the hell? I didn't know they were a punk band.
So, anyway, yeah, this is just something that's going on maybe once every other year. I'll be like, oh, man, it's getting tender. Oh, I bet. And then I'll rinse a couple times, and within a day or two, it goes away.
Okay.
Something I've been dealing with my whole damn life. Not a big deal. So that's what was going on, let's say, last Sunday. It was present Monday and Tuesday, you know, through rider school or whatever. And it's like, yeah, goddamn, it's pretty tender, you know, but I'll just keep rinsing and that'll kill it. So I woke up Wednesday morning and, man, I really didn't feel good. And my throat was super sore. And I'm like, God, that has gotten so bad back there now that it's going down my throat. And, you know, I looked in the mirror and there was a little bit of swelling visible in my cheek. And I'm like, well, dude, you know, okay. And so I rinsed and then I went out and I went to work. And I drove from Burien into Seattle. And by the time I got into Seattle, my throat was closing off, or my airway, as they like to call it.
Yikes.
Jesus.
My airway was closing off. The other thing that had happened was, I guess, the swelling and infection. I didn't realize that it had gotten infected.
Ugh.
This infection had now reached my inner ear. So if you've ever had the spins when you're drunk, I was in my car and the world was rotating to the left.
Oh, God.
And I was running a bad fever, a high fever, 102 fever. You know, I'm a mess. I'm freezing cold. I'm sweating bullets. Yeah, so at this point, I'm like, man, you know, I'm pretty stout, but I think I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
So I was over here somewhere on 3rd Avenue, and my little car that I use for Uber, my little Chevy Sonic, I called my good friend Stephanie Muma, her husband Calvin, and I. We go, Calvin, Stephanie, Tawny, and I go back 20 years. Calvin was the singer of
Tempered Cast. Atomic Outlaws.
And the Atomic Outlaws.
And Stephanie and I just became friends on Facebook. So yeah.
Nice.
This is a very fun moment.
Oh, dude. So they're like family. I mean, when their first son was born, Tawny and I were actually the first people there.
That's cool.
It was Calvin's the four awesome. Of us. You know, yeah. Calvin handed me, his son still had the little wrinkle marks on him. He had just unfolded. And I'm like, dude. And he's like, no. And I'm like, what if I drop him? He's like, Glenn.
Don't drop him. Yeah, he and
hands
you'll be
me
fine.
His newborn. So
Glenn's using an iron and trying to iron out the wrinkles. He's like, stop this.
I just shake these out, man? How do I do it? So,
no, it's not a maraca.
Stop it.
So that gives you, you know, we don't get to see him very much anymore because life happens, but they're family, right? So Stephanie has always worked in administrative in dental. So I went, well, Stephanie knows her business, so I'll call Steph. We haven't probably talked in 6 months or 4 months, but I'll shoot her a call. And lucky me, she answers. She's like, hey. And I'm like, hey, Steph, here's what's going on. I'm like, I'm sorry to call you, you know, out of the blue, but I think I'm in trouble. And so my throat's swelling shut. I can't really swallow. It's a very forced effort to swallow.
Yes, you're in trouble.
I'm dizzy. My equilibrium's out of whack. And I'm running a high fever, I can tell. And basically, it all stems from this gum. And I explain, you know, every once in a while, a little piece of food, blah, blah, blah. Like, and I'm like, I think I'm in trouble. And she goes, you need to stop what you're doing right now. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, oh my God, we got to get you on a prescription, a hardcore prescription right now. She's like, Glenn, this will kill you. And so I'm in my car and I'm like, okay, I figured I was in trouble. And she's like, this will kill you. An ex-boyfriend of mine died this way.
Glenn is hot-blooded.
So, can you turn the music bed down just a hair? There you go. Or back up. So yeah. So now I'm like, you know, she said an ex-boyfriend of mine died this way. This will kill you. You have to understand that the infection, because your gum, that tissue is very thin, it'll absorb through the gum and it'll go either one to your brain and kill you, or it will go to your heart and it will kill you. Like if you went home right now and took a nap, you might not wake up.
Jeez.
So I'm like, oh,
Well,
okay, you know,
in that case,
you know, and at this point, it's like the Grim Reaper's riding shotgun. He's like, "What's up, man?" I'm like, "Oh, when'd you get here?" He's like, "Just now."
Yeah,
you know,
can I ride in the back of your hog?
And he's like, "Yeah, let's talk." You know, I'm like, "Nah, I kind of want to get some tacos." He's like, "Ah, we gotta talk.
This is an important conversation we need to have."
Yeah, man. So I'm
going to kill you.
I'm literally flirting with the Reaper at this point, which got my attention. I didn't panic, but I was like, "Okay." And given that I'm highly fevered and the whole world's rotating leftward, I didn't take what she said lightly.
Right.
So I'm like, what do I do? And she's like, we have to get you a hardcore antibiotic now. We have to start killing this infection. And she's like, you know, don't go home. Don't take a nap. You might not wake up if it's this far gone. We need to get you medical attention immediately. I'm like, okay. So at this point, you know, I log out of Uber, Lyft, and I start driving, because I'm at work, man. I start driving towards Burien, figuring, you know, and Stephanie's working this out. She, bless her heart, she got a hold of the doctor she works for, told him what was going on. He went, oh, my God. And by the time I got down into the Burien area, they had already called in these horse pill antibiotics. I think they're like 750 milligrams, these antibiotics.
Jeez, there you go.
Oh, dude, it's like, I got to be real careful. They are so potent that they strip all of the natural good stuff out of your stomach.
Jeez.
So, like, I have to be careful to eat or whatever on these antibiotics because they're so hardcore that you'll give yourself, like, perma-diarrhea. Like, you know, like, they'll tear you up.
Right.
But that gives you an indication, again, of I was in trouble. I was in deep S. So I got back to the house. At this point, I'd called my wife, and I'm like, don't panic, but I'm hanging out with this Grim Reaper guy, and he wants to take me out for tacos. And, yeah, you know, I'm like, everything's cool. Stephanie's on it. I'm on it. I'm going to be okay. And, of course, Tawny's like, oh, my God. And I'm right, like, well, I'm good. I'm on my feet. I'm getting treatment.
Right.
So I'm
this
not.
This isn't the ghost of Glenn calling.
Yeah, I'm not going to check out.
Right. Not Patrick Swayze.
I don't think I'm going to check out, but we need to take immediate action or I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
And so bless Tawny's heart. At that point, she had called me back. She said, she explained what's going on with her boss at the company she works for. They're the coolest people in the world. And she's like, because when I got home, I didn't want to sit down. I was like pacing my kitchen.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though I had the spins. Well, I was scared to sit down because what if I donned it off? And Stephanie had pretty much said, like, if you.
And it was a lot closer than you thought.
Yeah, you're in big trouble. Like, this isn't you're pretty sick. This is you are in trouble. Like, big trouble. So I didn't want to sit down. I'm just pacing my kitchen. And Tawny called and said, your prescription's ready. I'm going to pick it up. I'll bring it home to you.
Mm-hmm.
So she brings me home this prescription. And then Stephanie's like, take two to start. You got to get this in your blood immediately. So
Glenn crushed it up and snorted it.
Oh, dude. I rubbed it on my gums.
Yep.
So anyway, I get on the antibiotics. I'm chomping ibuprofen like they're going out of style. And at this point, it's like, okay, at least I know I'm not going to check out. So obviously, I spend the rest of the day at home because I'm a mess. Bad fever. I've got the spins because my inner ear is way out of whack because the infection had reached there. And I was in big trouble. So I made an appointment the very next morning, bless Stephanie's heart again, who, by the way, probably, you're hearing the story, she probably saved my life.
Oh, it sounds like she definitely
saved
your life.
Probably saved my life. Stephanie, I love you. Thank you for saving my life. I made an appointment to go to the dentist the next morning. So I get in there. The guy's really, really cool. They get me in the chair, and I'm hipping him. Yeah, I've always had these. And he's like, oh. You know, and he's like, yeah, those are called a operculus. It's very common. Like 80% of the world has them if they still have their wisdom teeth. Yeah, it's just a little. I'm like, right. And so every once in a while, and blah, blah, blah. And he gets in there and looks and goes, whoa. He's like, okay, yeah. Yeah, this is severe. And I'm like, yeah, I've been noticing that. But I've been on the antibiotics since yesterday. Thank you. I can't remember his name, but he probably saved my life, too. Because he's like,
Dr. Feelgood.
Yeah, he's like, I'm calling in the script.
You don't want to call.
But yeah, that's called, I think it's called a peculitis. So you have a peculus. That's what those little tiny little flaps are called.
Uh-huh.
A peculitis is when it gets sick. Mine was apparently purple. Oh, everything was swollen and purple. And he's like, dude, when it's this close to the airway. And I'm like, well, Stephanie had mentioned concerns regarding infection. He's like, oh, yeah, it'll hit your brain and your heart and take you out. He's like, but in your case also, this could swell your airway shut and you suffocate.
Which is why you were having a hard time swallowing then.
Oh, yeah.
My God.
Yeah, it was bad, dude. So, you know, there I am. I'm like, well, and he's like, you know, normally we just put you on a hardcore antibiotic and kill the infection. We've already taken that step. And he's like, so you're okay. And he gave me, now here's the other confession, right? I hadn't been to a dentist in probably 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
So he gave me a full look over. I only have two cavities for 25 years.
That's impressive.
F you.
Oh, bro. Yeah. So he's like, well, no. So you learn a lot. He goes, there's two types of people out there. There's people that will have crowns and caps and fillings and all this kind of thing. And that's more common. And then there's people that you just got to make sure your gums stay healthy and you'll have healthy teeth the rest of your life. He's like, you're really lucky. You're in the latter category. There's two baby little cavities. You know, I joked. I'm like, sweet, one per decade. And he's like, yeah. He's like, honestly, you could do regular cleanings. Your teeth are never going to give you trouble for the rest of your life. So that was good news.
Yeah. So yeah, I worry about those gums, though. You make sure those gums are okay.
Well, the adventure continues. So, and I'm sorry if I'm going too long, but good story.
No, it's fine. You know, the quick thing.
Oh, yeah.
So I went to Defy Wrestling with my buddy Craig, who I'm going on a Pearl Jam show with, and we're just BSing, and he goes, man, I love listening to Glenn on your podcast. Glenn's always got the greatest stories. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, oh, just wait until Tuesday when you find out how Glenn nearly died.
This one's for you, bro.
This is for you, Craig Proper.
All right, Craig. So, so at this point, he's like, you know, the only other thing we could do is we could pull that wisdom tooth, and then when all that heals up, this just won't happen anymore, at least not on that side. And I went, I'm down.
Do it.
And he goes, it's a healthy tooth. And I'm like, man, I'm down. If you tell me it'll eliminate it, I'm not, you know, let's do it. And he's like, well, do you want me to refer you out, or you want me to just
get the chisel?
I'm like, brother.
Oh, God.
I'm like,
man.
Bro, let's do this. Oh, dude. So, you know.
Yeah, I know how teeth are when they're getting the old Yanko.
Hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah.
So they do an x-ray, and the guy's like, you know, the guy was cool because he could tell that I was pretty chill. He's like, do you want to see this? I'm like, yeah, sure. He shows me the x-ray. Now, it was of that side of my jaw. All your teeth have like a little hat, and then there's little tentacles that come down like an octopus. That's how teeth look. A wisdom tooth doesn't look like that. A wisdom tooth is a big chunk of bone.
Uh-huh.
It's like the last digit of your pinky finger, but a little longer.
Yeah.
And that is, and see, the reason it doesn't hurt.
That's why they put you out for that one.
When you're a kid, this gets better. When you're a kid, when they pull them out, they're small and they're itty bitty and they're growing and they're not that deep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm 44 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, it's a chunk of bone. He's like, that's what we're doing. And of course, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So in comes the chick now with the Novocaine needles.
Just longer than your arm.
I took four needles to the gum.
Yeah.
Four of them. And I'm really being, I mean, you talk about clutching the arms of that chair, but I'm really being cool. She'd be like, you okay? And I just hold up my, you know, thumbs up. And then she'd be like, wow. And I'm like, oh, you have the touch of an angel. You're like a feather. Dude, it was really unpleasant. She'd be like, you're going to feel a little zing. Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Stab. So,
at that point, Stephanie came back and she's like, is the extraction necessary? And straight up.
And Glenn's just like, yeah, it's okay, I'm fine.
Yeah,
and why are you removing his left foot, too?
Oh, dude, and the doctor's like, well, no, it's not necessary, but
I want to do
he's
it.
He's down, and it'll keep this from happening. And
I need to practice.
And I looked at Steph. I'm like, hey, I'm down. And he's like, yeah, you should see him. That is swollen and purple, and it's going to close off his airway. He was really in bad trouble.
But,
so we're going to do this. And I'm like, yeah, let's do this. So at that point, Stephanie and the guy both are like, so you know, you want the gas? I'm like, you know, by this time I'm starting to go a little numb. So I'm like, no, man, I kind of want to be here for this.
Oh, I've been there for it.
Oh, no.
Hindsight is 20/20.
Dude. So how do you like it when you can't feel it, but you can still feel it?
It took two guys to hold my skull still.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the doc got, because I was a good patient. I was a good. Every once in a while, I might have went, I took it. I just took it. But it took two guys to hold my skull, because when he would pull on that baby,
yeah,
I wasn't strong enough to hold my head still, man.
No.
And, dude, I'm telling you, when he pulled, it was my right lower back corner of my jaw. I felt it clear around my right ear. It felt like he was peeling my head like an orange. And the whole time I'm laying there thinking,
this is a bad idea.
You know, I volunteered for this.
Put me out. What I changed my mind.
You know, like,
now, sir.
You could literally hear the voice like, maybe this was a bad idea. And, oh, man. He worked on that tooth and worked on it and worked on it and worked on it and finally got that baby up out of there.
Dude, that's the weirdest feeling. I know it wasn't a wisdom tooth, so it's not. It pales in comparison to what you were doing, but I remember when I broke a tooth.
Yeah, same.
Oh, guys.
So it was already pretty much gone. There's still parts, and just, even though my mouth was numb though, the feeling of them like grabbing like that wrench and like trying to yank it out. I mean, you don't feel it, but you feel it.
It's
the worst.
I remember, because I had the exact same thing you're talking about, Steve. I had a cracked back tooth because I had my wisdom teeth pulled when I was like 10
Most
or something.
Most people do.
Yeah, but it was
never give me a problem. I'm
dude,
scared.
Yeah,
now.
Don't, yeah. Man. Yeah. good juju.
Yeah.
But when we had that, I remember the dentist having to literally prop his foot up on the chair to just like yank. He's yanking with both hands. And I'm like, it's this same thing where I was able to kind of keep my head stable, but at the same point, I'm wondering, like, who's just going to, you know, have to put their hand on my forehead while somebody else is yanking this tooth out of my head?
Yeah, dude, what I focused on was, you know, because he's got to be able to work, so you don't want your cheek too tight, was all I... Because you make something your focus. When you're in terrible pain, you focus on whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, keep your mouth open the right amount.
Mm-hmm.
Do him that favor. And so the whole time, I focused on that. And man, it was hardcore.
Yeah.
So we got it out, and I'm like, oh, right on, man. I'm like, dude, how, you know, was I? And he's like, you were excellent. Man, you were killer. I'm like, okay, cool, man. I always like to try and be a good patient. And he's like, are you squeamish? And I'm like, no.
Show it.
And he's like, you want to see it? I'm like, oh yeah. I'm like, oh, hell yeah.
Dude, that's the exact
same. So he holds the tooth up, and there's chunks of meat and stuff hanging off of this baby.
Oh, my God. I wasn't expecting that.
Dude, it is a big chunk. It's not like a tooth with the little stems. The wisdom tooth is like a big chunk of bone.
It's like a chicken wing pillar with the meat still kind of stuck on it.
Oh, yeah. So there's meat and danglies hanging off of it.
Today's episode brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings.
And then he rotated around.
Beer, sports.
Oh, dude.
Wisdom teeth.
He's like, as you can see, you know, the tooth is, he was like, it's healthy. He's like, you can see though, the infection, the antibiotics would have gotten this, but the infection was spreading up into the tooth. And he's like, you were in really big trouble.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh man, I can't figure
it out. Did he drill a hole in it and make it a necklace for you?
Well, at that point, you know, I literally was like, hey man, listen, can I keep that? I want to send it to my mama. And he kind of laughed. I'm like, I'm not kidding. She still has my baby teeth, and I figure I'll send her that one too. And he's like, you really want it? And I'm like, yeah, dude, I want it. I want to send it to my mom.
Yeah, I can't throw stones, man. When I had my gnarly tooth pulled, I kept it for a while.
I'm going to mail mine to my mom.
Do they clean the meat off of it? Or?
They clean the meat off of it, and I even told Tawny I was going to brush it one last time.
Do they give it into like a little envelope sort of thing?
Mine's in a little clear plastic bag.
Oh, nice. See, mine was in a little brown envelope, and the worst thing was I was living with my buddy in his condo up in Linhood, and so when I went to go move, I lost it.
Oh.
I don't know whether or not I left it there, or I left
it at a crime scene somewhere, confusing the hell out of some detective.
Right. Yeah,
some CSI
exactly.
Teams out of that house. Like, we don't know who this is.
So, okay, well, we're almost to the end. So they pack my head full of gauze, and I go out, and we're all kind of BSing at the front counter. I'm jovial. I'm happy. Thanks so much. You guys are great. Really appreciate you saving my life.
Yeah.
And I drive home. I call Tawny, and she's like, "Why are you driving?" I'm like, "I'm good. I'm Tawny. You know, I've got a hell of an endorphin rush going, but the Novocaine. I'm like, I'm good."
Yeah.
So they called in a prescription for Vicodin because they're like, "You're going to be in a lot of pain." I was like, "Man, I'm a little weird about opioids and prescription pills.
Yeah, I always do.
I don't really take them."
Yeah.
And they're like, "Oh, if you don't really take them, I've just lost friends to them." So I'm like, "I just don't take them." And they're like, "Well, we can give you like a Vicodin. I forget what the milligrammage is, but." They're like, that'll do the trick for you. I'm like, okay, man, cool. And they're like, trust me, you're going to need it. And I'm like, dude, I trust you.
Right. I just don't want to be hooked on stuff.
So I get home, and Tawny's like, well, I'll pick up your Vicodin, and I've got the rest of the day off. I'll come home and watch after you. I'm like, great. So I get home, and I was instructed, when you get home, switch out the gauze. So they gave me this whole thing of gauze. Well, I pulled that gauze out of my head, and it was like there was an open can of tomato soup in my skull that had unlimited tomato soup.
Mm.
I bled so much. Yeah. I mean, I ended up pulling a bar stool up to the sink and just sitting over my kitchen sink because it wasn't like I was spitting blood. It was just running out of my mouth.
Jesus.
Running. And I'm like, God damn. So now this is where I really screwed up because it's supposed to clot. I wasn't thinking clearly. I was like, well,
maybe
if I get in there and rinse.
Oh, no.
So I start taking salt water rinses to this open wound. Dude, it
here's Glenn trying to kill himself now at this point.
Oh, no, it gets better.
Oh, Jesus.
So I'm trying to, and I'm like, maybe if I just do it enough, it'll stop. And no, all it did was knock away the clotting.
Oh.
So it is like a river of blood coming out of my head. And I texted, I should find the text, but the text literally said like, .. I'm bleeding a lot. And I'm kind of concerned that I'm going to run out. Like, because as I understand it, I think you only have like 2 pints.
Mm.
And I'm kind of looking at this like, man, I've already filled half a pint glass for sure, if not more. It is running out of my skull so much that I could see the blood in the garbage disposal. There was that much blood in there. So I was really, and I'm like, you know, am I going to bleed out in my kitchen? And of course, you know, once or twice, I went, bleh. And so there's blood everywhere, and then I'm walking to the can to try and put more gauze, and there's blood. It looked like a Jason Voorhees had come over for dinner.
Nice, man.
So then I didn't want Tanya to come home and see that because she'd panic. So now here's me with my my head stuffed full of gauze, crawling around on my hands and knees, mopping up this murder scene, getting all the blood off the back of the kitchen wall where I went, and it's all over the faucet. So I get all this blood cleaned up. Tawny comes home, you know, and she's like, how are you doing? I'm like, well, I'm a little concerned because I won't stop bleeding, but Google says I shouldn't bleed to death, you know? So this is going on. And so Tawny's now reaching out to Stephanie, and Stephanie's like, look, they pulled a huge bone out of his mouth, and it's deep. It's deep. It's a big hole, and it's going to bleed like hell for a while. Tell him to keep the gauze on it. You're going to focus on trying to get it to clot. Yeah. He's going to bleed like that for a couple hours.
Yeah. That's why, like, don't drink out of a straw.
Those instructions even came later. So now, here's me with my head packed full of gauze, and I set a timer for 30 minutes, and she's like, you can't spit, because you'll develop I think they call it a dry socket, and Stephanie said that was more painful than childbirth.
That was a big fear for my wife.
Sucks. Yeah. She said it was more painful than childbirth. Yep. I'm like, okay, I want to avoid that. But then the other thing is, like, don't swallow, because if you swallow too much blood, you'll make yourself sick.
Right.
But I couldn't spit. So
you would be a terrible girl from Kirkland.
I bet I swallowed half a pint of blood. I just sat there on the couch and swallowed it. Just kept swallowing mouthful after mouthful after
like
mouthful
vampire.
Of blood. Dude, now I know what it is to be a vampire. Salty.
I want to suck my own blood.
A little coppery.
Oh, dude. So I'm just sitting there basically swallowing mouthful after mouthful of my own blood. And Tawny's like, you really need to take a Vicodin. And I'm like, I'm not sure if that makes sense until the bleeding stops. Let's get the blood. This was the biggest mistake of the whole thing. I don't think that makes sense until the bleeding stops. Let me get the bleeding under control. And I'm kind of laughing because I could tell she was scared. I'm kind of laughing and trying to make light of the situation.
Sure. Yeah.
But I'm like, don't worry, baby. I'm good. Once the bleeding stops, I'll take some Vicodin and I'll be fine. Well, so the Novocaine wore off.
Mm.
Ah!
I was in so much pain that my body went into shock.
Oh my God.
I'm sitting there on the couch, and Tawny said I was as white as a roll of paper towels. I went ghost white. I was ice cold. My hands are shaking, and I'm kind of like, baby, I don't know if I'm doing so good. She's like, you're in shock! You're in shock! And I'm like, from getting a tooth pulled? And
what
she's
does
like,
that
yes!
Mean?
You know, you've been bleeding for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
You had, yes, Glenn, yes, from getting a tooth pulled. You're in shock right now. And I'm like, okay, maybe bring the Vicodin. Dude, by that point, I was in a lot of pain.
Oh, I bet.
I mean, I was in a lot of pain. But again, Tawny was nervous, so I'm just kind of taking it. You know, but of course now I'm in shock, so I'm ghost white. My hands are quivering. I'm like, everything's fine. Don't worry.
Good.
Let's
order
a pizza. I'm fine.
You know.
It'll be great.
I think some guy wants to take me to get tacos.
Yeah, like
I'm grim.
I'm looking out the window past Tawny's chair, and the Reaper's out there. Like, remember me, bro?
Yeah.
You thought you shook me yesterday. I'm back.
Yeah.
You know, like, dude, a lot of pain. Like opening my mouth to replace the gauze was almost unbearable.
Yeah.
Really painful. So then I got the Vicodin in me. After I got the Vicodin in me. Suddenly it was Saturday evening. I don't know how else to explain it. I won't waste your time with the details that followed. But pretty much I'd take one or two of those babies. Tawny said I was high as F.
Yeah.
When I'd start to come off the Vicodin, I'd feel that granular opioid withdrawal thing, which I don't like. And so I would take another one. But by Friday night, which was probably too soon, I had already said no more Vicodin. I think I have like 23 of them left.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, no more. I'll take goddamn ibuprofen. So Saturday, I would say I was tender. I was in pain, but I was like, I'm not taking any more of those Vicodin.
No, I'm with you, man. I don't like the way I feel when I take those pain pills.
Dude, it's ruined some friends of mine's lives, and it's killed a couple people that I love. It's killed them. So I'm kind of weird about pills. I'm not a pill guy. You want to drink a fifth of Jack Daniels, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not interested in a Percocet or a Percodan or an Oxy, unless I'm really hurting, in which case...
That situation.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Then hook me up, so...
Yeah, those things just make me feel itchy and weird.
Oh, dude, so Saturday, I was tender, but okay. By Sunday, I was kind of myself. And yesterday, I went and worked a full shift. And, you know, today, I'm a little tender and achy, but I'm here. And, yeah, that's probably an anticlimactic ending, but that's the story,
crazy,
guys.
Man.
That's
Well, I think about my wife, when she had hers removed, like, they put her out. You know what I mean? So that way, and that, the dry sockets was a big fear. But it's funny, you know how you always hear these stories of people coming out and saying the weirdest crap because they put you under and like you come through and you're still in loopy loop land.
Yeah.
And all she said when she came through was, "That was fun." That was her only thing that was like a little out of the ordinary. Otherwise, she was so chill about it all. But yeah.
Well, and I remember thinking back to Stephanie's eyes being huge and she was like, "You don't want gas?" I'm like, "No, man, I kind of want to, like, I don't remember how I put it, but basically it was like, if this is going to go down, I want to be a part of it."
Yeah.
You know, because I'm a pretty stout guy and I'm overly curious. And you're going to jerk a chunk of bone out of my skull? I don't want to miss that.
Yeah.
Halfway through, I was like, "Man,
what was
I thinking, man?" You know, and I had to sign a. You know, it made me think of that movie Malice. It's a great movie. But I basically, because they were extracting a perfectly healthy tooth, I had to sign a waiver saying, "Like, hey, bro, I'm giving you permission to jerk this thing out of my skull." You know.
And usually that's like $300 in Nevada.
So that was my week, man. And you know, and all, the only time the Reaper really only came to visit was when that infection spread into my throat and into my ear.
God, dude.
And yeah, the next stops are the brain and heart, or the airway goes completely shut and you suffocate. And so, yeah, driving back from Seattle, spinning to the left. Yes, I know I shouldn't have been driving, everyone, please. The Grim Reaper was in the back seat. Yeah. Like, am I getting charged for this, or are you taking me directly to SeaTac? I'm like, dude, please.
I'm just going home.
Like, no offense, but there's some stuff I wanted to do.
Yeah, we got a big CD release show in October.
Yeah, right. You know,
Window Pane's going on tour.
I was kicking with the Reaper, man. But I'm here, Stephanie Muma.
Shout out to her.
Thank God, man. You talk about like the universe looking out for you or God looking out for you. When I called her, she was off that day. She was chilling at home. She had the day off.
It's crazy how
she'd have been at work. She might not have been able to take the call. I might have went home and taken a nap because I didn't feel well. Mm. It's hard to say God or the universe or whatever it is you believe in. You know, God was looking out for me, man, because I was in real big trouble. And Stephanie was off, had the day off, called her dentist. He got me the script. By the time I got back into Burien from Seattle, it was only another 20 minutes before I was on the medication.
Well, dude, it's like this morning we were talking about this story of this the band Every Time I Die. The guitarist, like his shtick when he plays live, not shtick, but like he likes to swallow get a bunch of beer in his mouth and spit it in the air, right? So he spits it in the air, and some of the residual spit lands in someone in the front row in their eye. Some girl, she like wipes it out, but then after the show, she's like, "This just feels weird. It's still kind of bugging me." Next day, it's like, "This is really. I should go to the doctor. I think I got like infected by the spit. Maybe this guy's got some weird disease or something. I don't know." Doctor goes, "Like, oh no, the reason why your eye is acting up is that you have a tumor, and we need to remove it. Otherwise, you're going to die."
Jeez.
Oh, she hadn't gotten that spit in her eye
by a band called Every Time I Die. Saved her life.
My buddy the Reaper's on drums.
Like, right?
Hey, chick in the front row. I'll see you tomorrow. Do you like tacos?
Right. But I mean, it's like when you hear these stories, you're like, it's just so weird how certain things happen. Had they not happened, she could have died not realizing, you know, like no different with you if you had not got a hold of her.
Stephanie was off that day.
Gosh.
Took immediate action. And yeah, if she hadn't been off that day or she'd been busy, man, or who knows, right? Because I'm a smart enough guy. If I couldn't have gotten a hold of Stephanie, I would have driven straight to a dental clinic and said, "Look,
urgent care. Or anything,
I am dizzy. My throat's swelling shut. I'm running a fever, and I've got.
I don't feel too good.
You know.
Stark.
Hopefully, someone would have put me on a hardcore antibiotic.
Yeah.
But
God, though, she answered the phone.
She answered the phone, and she really went above and beyond. She had me in. She had me scheduled in the next morning.
But the biggest disappointment is that you did not go under, so we didn't get any fun audio of you coming through. Like, I went online just to check.
Sorry, man.
And I just typed in wisdom tooth removal, and this one, just the headline on YouTube is, "My tongue fell out. Funny reaction."
Oh, no.
So I have no idea how this is going to sound, but it's some girl that just came through after having
her tongue fell out.
Let's hear what happens with her. If it plays, it's come on, play. Come on.
No, it's probably just dry blood.
Ah!
What's the matter?
My tongue fell out again.
It's not your tongue.
Again.
Did they fix my eyes? Can I see now?
No, you need your glasses.
Did they fix my eyes?
I mean, like, they stole my cheek. They might as well fix my eyes.
Stole her cheek?
They stole her cheek. I know how
I'm
she
sweating.
Feels.
This thing is, like, making me overheat.
You like heat?
She doesn't even know what's going
not
on,
this
dude.
One.
Yeah.
No, fine.
I like mine. This thing is a piece of
Oh. Hey, dirty bird.
All right, we're good.
What's
all
great,
right.
too, Red, is that girl's maybe like 13 years old. She's this pretty little young girl.
You potty mouth.
Sorry, dude.
It's like that one movie we watched just the other day. It was some girl, she was drugged up on something, and she's like, watch, like, I make this popsicle disappear. And she, like, finishes, like, right? And her mom's like, stop doing that. That's your talent? She's like, this is my talent. Oh, and does, like, the oral thing. And then she goes, oh, mom, don't act like you've never done that before. And then there's dad's like, no, honey, she has.
Yeah, his dad's sitting over the corner just sweating bullets like, not my little girl, not my little girl, please, not my little girl. No. I wish it was 1953. I wish it was 1953. I wish it was 1953.
We don't talk about that.
See, how do you spell popsicle? Oh, yeah, there you go, popsicle.
Oh, yeah. If you do end up, if they're like, yeah, we're going to jerk a part of your skull out, and they ask if you want the gas, man.
Say yes.
That's a show you can miss. I wanted to see the show. You can miss the show.
Yeah.
You can.
And I'm high as balls.
I'm going to have to bleep something here.
Oh, my God. No.
I swear. Oh, she is cracked out.
That's what we're supposed to do.
Now watch this.
Want to see my
special talent? Oh, no.
That's a special talent that you can stick that all the way to the back of your neck.
Don't act like you haven't done it before, Mom.
Oh, and again, that girl's probably like 13 and she's laying in a hospital bed out of her mind on drugs. So that wasn't like a dinner table thing. That was her brain was off.
Right.
And yeah, it wasn't even a slightly melted popsicle.
No, it was brand new.
She put that baby all the way down there.
And had more room to fit another probably couple inches. Yeah.
Don't act like you. Her mother's like, why is this happening?
Well, dad
it's bad enough her daughter's in the hospital, now this.
Poor dad's like just rubbing her leg like it's going to be okay. Don't curse, baby. Don't curse.
Yeah, right.
Now I learned that my daughter has that special talent. That's just great.
They call her Sally the Throat.
Yeah. Oh, can you put me under too so I can forget any of this happened?
All of it.
Why don't we do some voicemails, emails, and some text messages before we run on out of here?
Thanks for putting up a story time.
That was awesome. That's for Craig.
I didn't die, Ziggy.
What the hell was that?
I don't know.
That's a special talent that you can stick that all the way to the back of your neck.
Don't act like you haven't done it before, Mom.
I love it. The whole clip,
sass.
The whole clip starts with that little girl saying, I'm high as balls.
High as balls.
Let's hear that part again. Yeah, that part was awesome.
It's amazing.
Oh, wait.
Hey, Jen.
Dude, I'm high as balls.
That poor girl.
That sounds like me on like a Saturday night in college. Guys, I'm high as balls. God,
she sounds so panicked. She's like, I'm high as balls.
I don't know how to get down.
And I have this phallic object in my hand. I know what? I should deep-throat
man.
Oh, we got a text. It was a couple weeks ago we played that clip of Travis singing Bocelli. At the window pane vinyl release party.
Yeah, he did it again the next night at Highway 99. It was killing.
This person says, what the F? Travis sounds just like Bocelli. Is it Bocelli, right? I don't know.
Travis would know.
I'm
not going to pretend to be.
Yeah, that guy, the opera guy. That was amazing. Travis is such a cool guy, too. I got to meet him at Live Day and told him how much I liked the first Bruiser Brody show at Studio 7. He was extremely grateful. He even took my Bruiser Brody EP, took it backstage to get it signed by everyone, which was so awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
Can you guys please record Travis singing that Bocelli song and make it the hidden track on your next Bruiser Brody album? We won't be able to do it for this one, but maybe for the future ones.
Yeah, I'm like, what a great idea. And I'm like, way too late.
Yeah.
Damn.
We're way too deep in where we're at. We can't go backwards. But thank you. This person texted in at 253-271-4787. Looking for gifts for grandma and stumbled across a mug on Amazon. And it said, quote, I didn't fart. My ass blew you a kiss.
Nice. I need that one.
I'm high as balls.
High as balls. This text says, I love the show, guys. Question for Glenn. Can you get a trike or a bike with a sidecar and use it for rideshare? That might be a fun place to get places faster.
Dude, right? I was telling a guy the other day that I had sold my 66 Pontiac to buy my Harley, and he was like, oh, man, too bad Uber doesn't have an Uber Classics thing. And I'm like, right?
There was one rideshare.
You know, like, I'll come pick you up in a 66 Pontiac,
that
man.
Would be cool. There was one rideshare. One person was using literally a... I don't. Maybe it was a joke, but my wife was talking about how she saw a pickup with either the Lyft or the Uber sticker.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm like, do you really want to sit, you know, bench seat right next to the person giving you the ride? It seems a little weird.
I had a weird one yesterday.
What do you prefer, like, when you do the Uber stuff? Do you like when someone sits right next to you?
I like them in the back.
I never know what to do.
I do that because they have more room, but yeah. It's completely up to them. I usually watch where they head.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, yesterday, I had an Uber pool, and I had two really sweet kind of teenage girls, 17-year-old girls in the back.
Were they high as balls?
maybe. They might have been, we're high as balls. But it was Uber pool, and man, we pulled up to this 7-Eleven, and this weird little dude with this giant beard and all these tattoos, he gets in. And
dude, I'm sitting right next to you. You don't need to talk.
Immediately, no, he was a weird little guy, and he was probably stoned out of his mind, and he just started going off about not being, he was like, I didn't want to effing ride in a pool, and I'll pay the $20. I'm just going up the hill, and now I'm in a car with these strangers. And he's sitting next to me, and the girl behind me's like, if you go into the app, you can. I'm like, yeah, bro, I'm pretty sure. Oh, I don't even know. It always makes me take a pool. And
you don't have to take a pool.
Weird guy. And so the girls got out, and then he went on this tear about how, you know, now that these girls are all wigging out because of the weird guy in the front. And I didn't want to be like, bro, the only one wigging was you. They were really nice. The girl was even telling you how to work your app. I was just like, yep, I hear you, dude.
Yeah.
And I had to drive where he was going. And when we got there, he was so comforted by the fact that I just listened to him babble. He's like, man, thanks. We shook hands. But he had finished whatever he was eating before he got in the car. And so now that was that handshake. So, like, I was like Napoleon for the next 20 minutes with my hand tucked away, and I wouldn't use it, you know?
The old stink palm
Yeah, until I could get to a gas station and wash it, you know?
Just pour gasoline on it.
Yeah. Yeah, what made me start talking about this? Oh, the pickup truck.
Yes.
I don't care where they ride, but normally I put them in the back because they'll have generally more leg room and it's more comfortable. And
it's, I think, how people are used to taking
a cab, really, essentially. Unless it's like you're going with a bunch, you know, like 2, 3, 4 people and you have to do it.
And occasionally someone will be like, dude, can I ride up front? I'm like, of course you can, man.
Do what you want.
You know, I'm good with whatever. Really, you know, whatever's clever. And the guy yesterday was the closest I've ever come to having an unpleasant rider. And even he wasn't that bad.
He just was weird.
He was just a weird,
socially
awkward guy.
Has anyone, late night, taking someone home, they did a little beefing in the back? A little farting?
Haven't any farts happen, but I
grandma's kisses.
I don't drive the late nights anymore unless I have to make up for a shift, dude. I do Monday through Friday days. Like today, today's probably my latest day. I'll drive till 8 or 9 o'clock, depending on how late the cast goes. But, yeah, I
guess that's a good way to be.
After doing it and realizing I really didn't make that much more money doing it, I prefer not to deal with the drunks.
I hear you, man.
The hugging and the loving and the kissing and then the
kissing.
Oh, people up around the seat. I was really drunk. And, you know, you're the best. You know, and the one guy that was hammered and went on a 20-minute tirade about the fact that it was the coolest thing ever that I spoke English. You don't know how cool it is. You speak English.
Yeah, I couldn't handle all the drunkies.
Yeah. So after a while, it's like, I love everybody, but I'll stick to the daytime when it's like, hey, is your day wrapping up? Yeah, I'm finally getting off.
Tired.
Oh, that's rad. What's the plan for tonight? Oh, man, I'm just going to kick back and watch TV.
Deep throat popsicle.
That's killing it. Yeah. Yeah, what's your special talent?
What can you do?
I'm gonna take
Have you
some
met my friend, the
deep
Grim
throat
Reaper?
Of popsicle.
Yeah. The Reaper's been riding with me, so he's part of pool.
I can't get him out of this damn vehicle. Keeps wanting to go get Taco Bell.
He wants street tacos, man. I don't know what's up, man. I'm feeling a lot better.
We got an email, themigscast@gmail.com. Trevor and Puyallup, Titanic Douche for Life. He says, I just want to write you guys and say how great the cast is. I love the energy and positivity you all bring to the table. I never laughed harder than I did when you guys did the movie porn name guessing game. That was awesome. For this week, Glenn talked about the show Billions. Such an amazing show.
It is.
It even has the guy that played Gale in Breaking Bad, and his character is so twisted but hilarious. Anyways, I just want to show my appreciation for the cast and everything that you guys do. Stay positive, boys. P.S. Let's start raising some money to get that new Bruiser Brody album out. I know I would pay in advance. Well,
it's already raised.
Yes. Go to BruiserBrodyBand.com and you can get the link to our Kickstarter, or just type in Bruiser Brody, Everyone's Dead in Kickstarter. You'll find us. Yep. And if you want to pre-order the record, you can. I mean, we have all these different tiers from, you can just throw, you know what's cool? Is that we even have an option if you just want to throw $5 as like a, hey, good luck to you. Nobody's done that one. Everybody's doing either, a couple people did the digital download, which is awesome, but everyone's doing like one of the higher tier ones, which is like autographed CD, baseball jersey, t-shirt.
Yeah, they want to make
like
it
the three-quarter sleeve t-shirt, which I think is really cool that people are opening up their wallets and not just dropping $10, $5. And if you did do that, don't get me wrong, that's incredible.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out how we're at like, it's like something in $1. Like if you look at our, what's our actual total?
Oh, I think there's a thing that's like a $1, like thanks. Like literally,
I thought there was just a $5 one.
I don't know. Maybe, I don't know.
I just wonder, did somebody like decide just for funsies, like I'm going to give them $51?
I don't know
how that works.
Well, Rev looks it up. I'll get coffee.
Yeah, I think you can do a specific, like, yeah, you're at $3,506.
Hey, how did I end up at six?
I don't know. Like, because you do have the pledge fight. No, none of that.
Everything's rounded. $10.
You've got five backers at 15. So I think that comes out to a five there.
Yeah.
And anybody can just, I think you can choose the tier, and as long as you're above.
Yeah, you can put whatever.
Yeah, maybe.
So you can do $51.
Maybe someone wanted to be a little weird and just do one where there's an extra dollar.
I want more of those. I think that's funny.
Maybe the $1,000 went 1,001. One.
Maybe he thought he had a bid.
You know what? That's a good point.
You never know.
Wow. And wow.
I'm so pumped about that private acoustic performance thing, because I am just stoked that somebody was willing to do that. That blows my mind that they opened up their wallet that much for us. And trust me, when we're going to do everything in our power to give you the best show that you could experience for that kind of money, like we're going to over deliver on that acoustic performance.
That's going to be a hoot.
Yeah, we're at $3,506.
Yeah, and you can just randomly, once you choose a tier, You as long as you make it as much as it is.
So they might do like $51.
Yeah.
Or
$36 or something strange and fantastic.
I feel like Ziggy probably was the one that did something with like an odd number just to kind of mess things up in a fun way.
Or he did the $5 thing like 8 times.
Well, yeah, and it's like no one has actually just pledged the $5.
That's
everyone
what I mean.
Has gone for something, at the very least, the digital download.
That's cool.
It's so awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Let's check out voicemail and see what's going on.
Yes, hello, Steve Miggs. This is Christopher Walken.
Pow!
I just called to... F that BS. No, this is Ziggy. Hi, guys.
Hi,
so, I just got done walking Kyle from the Wide Open Records to his car. And, Kyle, you made me do this.
Uh-oh.
Hi, Steve. I'm going to be a dad. It's weird.
What?
I hope Kyle will let me get away with that. Anyway, I love you guys. Be good. Be safe.
Ziggy's having a baby.
Is Kyle the father?
True to yourself.
Is Kyle the baby?
Love you all. And
I'm confused.
Hi, Ziggy. Bye.
Oh, yeah. So he's hammered. If you couldn't tell.
So did Kyle impregnate Ziggy?
Like, there are so
on the
many
way to the car?
More questions.
I'm confused.
Yeah.
But I'm also very happy for him.
Yeah, congratulations.
That's
on...
That's awesome.
Like, is it a food baby?
Yeah,
or is it something you'll have to...
Did he eat a very large burrito?
Yeah.
Like, can he name it Iggy? So he has a little Iggy?
Ziggy and Iggy.
Ziggy and Iggy.
He's got to name his son Pop.
Yes. Ziggy Pop.
Ziggy Pop.
Ziggy, dude.
Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations.
We think?
We need clarification.
Can you name your child Migs Cast? This is a little baby Migs Cast.
And then
or a little douche.
Everyone will always get it wrong. They'll call it Mix.
Yes.
Oh, is it that the Mix Cast? No, Migs Cast. Right, Mix Cast. Oh.
Mix. Yes.
Whatever.
Or Mix a Lot.
Fine.
Cast.
Yeah,
the Mix
sure.
Cast. Dude, that is freaking awesome. If everything you're saying is, I think what we're putting two and two together, that he's having a child.
Congratulations.
And that Kyle
man.
Is making him tell us.
Confess.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. I'm very confused on how Kyle is involved.
And what does Christopher Walken have to do with all
from
this?
The sound,
why was he on the phone?
It sounded like Kyle should have been walking Ziggy to his car. Yeah. Oh, no. No one should have been walking anyone to any cars,
no.
Actually.
Yeah.
Unless it was my car and it was Uber.
There you go.
And you can sit up front if you want.
Well, good luck to you, Ziggy.
Yeah, this is more confusing than a soap opera plot at this point. So
let's check out another voicemail.
Maybe it's him.
Right, yeah, watch, it's Kyle. Totally not.
Hey, Megs, what's up? It's Stevie, the Packers fan.
Now, Stevie's also pregnant.
Now I'm just going to, yeah, then we're done with the podcast.
Yes, it's time to retire this podcast. We don't need guys having babies.
Hey, Rev, questions for Rev, first of all. Have you seen Ant-Man and the Wasp, and what did you think?
I did not see it, so I'm cool.
Okay.
I kind of want to see it. The first one was a really good time.
The first one was all right. I was okay with it.
Wasp looks hot, though.
Oh, yeah.
That's Evangeline Lilly.
Yeah.
Oh, from Lost?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I used to have such a crush on her.
Yeah, remember the scene where they go to the lake to dive into the lake to retrieve the bag of guns, and she takes off her bottom, and she's just wearing these little string bikini panties?
Yes, mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah, Evangeline Lilly.
And she was on the cover, I think, of Rolling Stone magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was like, as an adult, it takes a lot for me to make love to myself with something that's not porn. Like, you know, besides, obviously, I don't make love to myself when I'm with my wife. But like, that damn cover picture, just her, made me like think not impure thoughts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Boner City.
She ended up in the Hobbit movies, didn't she?
Yeah. No. You're thinking that's Liv Tyler.
Liv Tyler was in the Lord of the Rings movies, man. I'm talking about the Hobbit movies. Evangeline Lilly was in the Hobbit movies, guaranteed.
Oh, yeah, she was. That's right.
Well, now I have a reason to watch the Hobbit movies.
That's right.
Was she a hobbit?
She was like a hot elf.
She was a hot elf.
She had hairy feet?
Yeah. She did not have hairy feet.
Okay, good.
No. So much for that fetish.
All right, back to Stevie.
No, she's still curious. Pokey ears.
And then, Glenn, how are you doing?
I had a mouthful of coffee at the time, but... I almost died last week, but I'm doing great, man.
Okay, here's an odd... Sorry, I'm all over the place.
It's okay.
I didn't almost die. I'm fine.
Thank you for introducing me to that Fred Almaker song.
There you go.
I really love that song. I play it at work. I freak out my coworkers. Then we go into something heavy, so it's all cool.
Nice.
But we need to get a show with Fred Almaker, or... I don't know if he does solo or with the rodeo.
He's doing the rodeo.
Need that. Need Pound to play and either Windowplane or Wyatt on the wreckage. Just have a weird show and get a different array of people.
That'd be cool.
I don't know if Windowplane's tour is going to be like in the fall because, I don't know, I'm looking forward to it. I want to see Pound live so bad.
Me too.
Keep up the good work, gentlemen. Talk to you later. Bye.
Yeah.
Maybe, cheers, bro.
Yeah, I should talk to Brent maybe in October. Maybe that would be a pretty fun bill.
It's one of those things with everything else going on, I had forgotten that we need to rope in a date for MixFest.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think JT's trying to find the venue to...
Yeah, because when he hit me up and said, dude, there's nothing at the Croc in October, I'm like, well, dude, let's shoot for November. I was thinking Brody CD release. I wasn't thinking MixFest.
We could do November, too. I don't care. MixFest doesn't have to be in October.
Yeah,
November's fine by me as well.
That had
whatever works
flown
for
under my
venue.
Radar, man. I've had so much.
Well, you got kind of something going on. Nearly dying, a window pane tour. It's okay. We'll figure it out. And like I said, I mean, like, I don't care when it happens.
This is year three, right?
Yeah. Whoa. And how about last one was our EP release, and now this is going to be the CD release.
Yeah, see?
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
We're growing up, man.
Yeah, next, moving on up.
MixFest 4 will be our double album.
I know, right?
Yes. Melancholy and the...
Oh, come on.
MixFest 4, we have to parachute into the venue.
Yes. I know someone that could help us with that.
Really?
My buddy does marketing with Red Bull when they do that.
Well, the flute dog.
I don't think he would let us be a part of it, but I mean, maybe they would do it.
I just think it'd be dope. Like, there's a big red X out in the parking lot, and here comes Bruiser Brody, and, you know, and we shoot down into the... You know, yeah.
And then we...
Yeah, exactly. I would bounce.
And there's Glenn. Doink.
No, we land on Jerry's big, the hot dogs.
The big dogs.
Big dogs.
Dude, I don't know. I just saw the saddest Twitter post. It was the old big dog getting towed.
No.
Yeah, I think it broke down. It was like a sad sight. Not like. Yeah, he parked in a bad spot, but I think like
it died on him.
Yeah.
Well, did you see also the post of him? He had a video because you know he has a lot of Seahawks inspired. It's obviously a very Seahawks inspired truck. The colors, Seahawk Funko Pops inside of it.
His
players have autographed it, and he also has Hawks themed hot dogs, including one called the Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
And he has video. he got to be the caterer at Russell Wilson's like golf tournament or something like that.
Yes.
He has a video on the Big Dog's Facebook page of Russell Wilson eating the Wilson.
Oh, man.
That is fantastic.
That's about as cool as it gets, right?
Yeah. I thought that was pretty awesome. So that's out there somewhere if you want to check it out. Let's check out another voicemail.
Hi, guys. It's Mama.
Mama!
Mama!
I wanted to tell you I love you, and I hope you guys stay cool in all this hot weather we have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And going to have throughout the whole week. I don't do good in the heat.
I mean, you.
But I'm trying to stay as cool as I can. I love you, and I think about you often. Bye-bye.
Love you, Mama.
We love you, Mama.
Good to hear from you, sweetheart.
Yes.
Get that AC if you can, or a swamp cooler or something, you know.
Oh, the swamp cooler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go have Hawknado go on YouTube. And
he can build that.
Build it.
Hawknado will build that. Yeah.
He can build it.
If you build it, they will cool.
Let's do one more voicemail.
All right.
Hey, listen. Look, I watch the news at night, and I listen to radio. And I'm a little confused, so maybe you can help me with this one. What's this about Starbucks getting rid of straws? And more importantly, the whole country's like going nuts over it. First of all, this global warming thing, it's getting a little out of hand with these plastic nut jobs. I mean, you're telling me if I don't have a straw in my Slurpee, Mr. Polar Bear has a better quality of life? I mean, that one needs explaining to me. And again, the head guy at Starbucks, he actually said, and I quote this, "This is a significant milestone to achieve our global aspiration of sustainable coffee served to our customers in a more sustainable way." Huh? How about pouring it in a cup, buddy, and handing it to me? That works, too. I mean, who would have thought that a place that makes coffee would be more known for diversity training and throwing away their straws? Hey, newsflash, people. This is new thing, and I just heard about it. Listen, you can make coffee at home. Yeah, hey, good friend of mine. You might know him. His name's Mr. Coffee. Yeah, he said it's pretty simple. And get this, it's actually tons cheaper. And if you want, you can put a whole box of straws in it. So there. Okay? Look, I got to let you go.
All right.
That someone called our line and left that recording. That wasn't a person that called our line.
I can't imagine.
That was something else.
That had to be someone screwing with us.
That said, as a person who can't drink through a straw until after this Wednesday, I've been kind of digging them sippy cup lids.
Yeah, them little sippy cup lids.
Yeah, man.
They're not bad.
I've been kind of feeling it because I'm like, yeah, can I?
I like how people are freaking out about this straw thing.
I didn't know they were.
They still have straws. They're just made out of something different, and they work just fine.
Yeah, they're compostable straws. They'll go away. But if you're not just sitting there with a straw all friggin' day, you're gonna be fine.
Well, I mean, if you want to get into it, you know, like really, think about all the people who drink Starbucks. Think about all the people who drink iced coffee at Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
Think about all them straws.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a lot of straws.
Yes.
Like in a month per capita, I bet it's over a million straws.
Starbucks easily. And McDonald's are the two biggest of the straw users, and they're the ones that are going to make these compostable straws.
That's kind of cool.
And the reason why they're doing it is because they're saying, hey, if we develop these and they make them easy and affordable, every other company is going to follow us. That's why they're doing it.
Yeah, we're eliminating a ton of waste.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
That guy sounds like a guy who just read the headline.
Yeah.
And didn't bother reading the story. And
actually, he sounded to me like a comic bit. That sounded like a bit.
Yeah, he's trying to be Lewis Black.
Look, you don't need to work out your comedy stuff by calling the Migscast line. Like, you flesh it out with your friends.
It made me laugh. And the truth is, yeah, I can make coffee at home. And not good.
It's not as good, yeah.
And even when I buy the Starbucks roast, not good.
Yeah. No.
Then I buy other fancy roasts, and then I hand grind the beans.
See, I got a grinder. I still have a grinder at home, and I love the morning coffees that I'll have on the weekends.
Yeah.
Because of that. But, I mean, at the same point,
We have those Keurig cup ones, like the Keurig.
Oh, those aren't bad.
They're not bad. We get the Dunkin' Donut one because I like the Dunkin' Donut coffee.
Really? Oh, yeah.
It's really freaking good.
It is good, and it rocks. It'll jack you up, man. Yeah, he's onto something.
Awesome.
Oh. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I know people are like, oh, Starbucks. Starbucks is delicious.
Good coffee, man.
They're fine. I mean,
I could have a Starbucks coffee every day if it wasn't for the fact that I just need to pay bills. Yeah, yeah, right? They're not only delicious, but they're also expensive.
I've been calling it $4 and $5 for a long time.
And that's for like a tiny one.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, yeah, you guys want to swing by $5? They're like, oh, that's really clever. I'm like, also true.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
I wasn't
shooting for the laugh. I was just calling it as I saw it.
And their cold brew is, we get the cold brew with a little soy milk.
You guys tried the nitro yet? Have you had the nitro?
Yes.
Which is funny. I got all the girls behind the counter cracking up because I was like, I want to try that. And I'm like, can I get a Venti? They're like, oh, we don't offer Venti. I'm like, what? Ever since the incident? And they all started laughing. They're like, well, no, it's just because the nitro carries the caffeine to your bloodstream and your brain faster. I'm like, some old guy's heart explode? You can talk to me.
Yeah.
I got this whole dialogue going. By the time I got my coffee, I could tell they wanted to just give it to me for free, man.
We actually have audio of someone who had a Venti nitro, and this is what happened.
Shit, I'm high as balls.
Crazy.
Apparently, there's this stuff called white coffee.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about that.
Yeah, Chris, who works on the show, his wife got some.
What the hell is white coffee?
It is like supercharged coffee. She got it at like a cash and carry.
The cocaine
or something.
Makes the bean white.
Essentially, I don't know. Like, I guess you're pretty close to it because she had like a. Like a cup and a half of it.
And was cracked
out. And she was jittery. Like, and she is good on coffee, but apparently this stuff is legit. Like, if you need that caffeine buzz, you know, the guys who like will drink like the four monsters to get through the day sort of thing.
Oh, there's some mornings where I get the coffee from our machine and then I do the two espresso, maybe even three espresso shots.
Ooh, maybe you should try the white coffee.
I want to suck down some white coffee.
Try the nitro. They will not give it to you in a venti.
No, I've had the nitro and it's awesome.
It's killer, yeah. Man. Yeah.
It's delicious.
Damn.
Yeah. All
right. Yeah, the coffee itself is like infused with, I think, nitrous oxide or something.
That is insane.
I just go to work and huff all day, but that's beside the point. Yeah.
No more do you need those helium balloons.
Yeah, hippie crack my ass. Let's do this.
Let's go. Let's go to fish and drink some
but
nitro.
Yeah, Rev, you look at the cup from the side and it looks like a Guinness. It cascades the whole time.
And it gets poured out of a tap.
And you drink like it and it is happening, man.
And you don't need like sugar or cream.
No, you don't want to mess it up.
It's got a good taste just by itself. Yeah. Cold brew, I do like throwing a little bit of that that sugar-free vanilla and that soy milk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm watching my girlish figure.
Yeah, that soy milk.
That's what my wife ordered, so I get it too.
Yeah, sugar's the devil, man.
Yeah.
It is.
But it's delicious.
Yeah. It is. Oh, dude, all this stuff I'm done because I'm trying to lose weight. I got into this thing where I found out, I think it was in the early 1950s, but processed sugar was literally identified as a poison. No kidding. And they're like, well, whoops.
Yep. Enjoy your sugar, kids.
It was weird. Like, if you look at packages and stuff, it'll show you the daily allowance. You know, it'll say like X and then daily allowance and blank and daily allowance. Well, next time, check it out on anything. It'll say sugars, 2 grams, but it won't tell you what the daily allowance is. It won't tell you nothing about sugar. They won't even go near it. It's addictive as all get out.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently,
it's tasty.
And it's bad for you, right?
Oh, I love my candy.
Oh, bro. See, I'm not a big candy guy, but sugar, it pops up in weird. Like, you go buy organic peanut butter, which you'd think would be salt and peanuts, what you use. Look on the back, be like, sugars, 2 grams.
Sugar, peanuts.
It's everywhere. You get like rice checks. You get on the back, sugars, 8 grams. Like, sugars and rice checks?
Yep.
Yeah, man. It's everywhere. That's sugar.
It's like anytime you go to.
Sugar.
All right, before we get out of here, let's just leave with these famous last words. If it plays, gotta love the internet.
What's that?
That's a special talent that you can stick that all the way to the back of your neck.
Don't act like you haven't done it before, Mom.
All right. Again, I didn't talk much about the wrestling thing, but I am wrestling another match at CPW, A New Dawn, and it's happening on Sunday, August 19th, 6 p.m. at the Marysville Skate Center. It's free. $10 donation is usually what they ask for, so don't be a cheap ass.
Yeah.
Help out, because the wrestlers are doing this for the love of the wrestling, so... Local celebrity. I'm a bad guy, so be sure to boo me.
Boo!
Yeah, screw you.
Boo!
Don't you know who I am?
Can't do it.
Suck it.
Won't boo you.
All right. Then you'll have to be a bad guy, too.
I'll be Ming.
The merciless.
I'll be Ming the merciful.
Windowpane got any shows coming up?
Windowpane's
right?
Jazz Bones. August 18th will be our tour kickoff party. And I've got a bunch of stuff coming soon, too. Glenn-specific stuff.
Ooh.
Music stuff. That I'm trying to make happen. So, I've really been busy, but things are cool.
Nice. So, August 18th, you go to Jazz Bones in the South. August 19th, you go to the Marysville Skate Center to watch some wrestling.
August 17th, you catch Bruiser Brody at Louis G's.
Holy smokes, the whole weekend is us.
That's right.
Come play with us and stay positive.